What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I could do this all night. It's not a marathon, it's a sprint. Let's run through the tape. Keith McPherson on the Fan 2 hours ago. Another 5 hour KM to AM. So I teased before the little break and update. Nestor Cortez getting hit around. Reminds me of that Saturday game that I went to where it was home run derby. He was pitching batting practice. He's at it again. In the first inning, he gives up 5 hits, 4 earned runs. 1 walk, 3 homers. Nestor, what's going on, bro? Elliot Ramos homered. Rafael Devers homered. Those are back-to-back. Nestor's pitching bad. I don't mean to laugh because Nestor's my dog. I get to flex that again. Some of y'all remember me having Nestor on. Nestor literally DMing me saying that him and his girl listen to my show and that I'm the GOAT. I wouldn't make that up. I wouldn't just say that. That was from Nestor. I posted that on my social media. And then I was able to, you know, develop a little bit of a back and forth friendship with Nestor when he was here with the Yankees. Nasty Nestor night with the mustache, all that. He became an all-star that year. I linked with him in L.A. He proposed to his girl in L.A., yada, yada, yada. Nestor's having a bad go at it. Schmidt with a double. Flores with a homer, like the first 4 batters he faced. Wop, wop, wop. 2 homers, a double, and a homer, putting the Padres in a 4-0 hole. So that's that. Very good day for the New York Yankees. Chris Kirschner from The Athletic writes, the Blue Jays, Red Sox, Mariners, and Astros all lose. So the Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox are currently tied in the wild card standings. Let's get it. Russ in the Bronx on the Fan. What's up, Russ?
Keith, what's up, bro? How's it going?
Good, good. Having a good time.
Yeah, chilling. Yo, so just to add on a little bit to what Dave Richmond was saying with Max Fried, in 2021, he had two injuries early in the season. He had a hamstring injury, and that's when the blisters started, the year they won the World Series.
Yeah.
He only threw 162. In the regular season, and an extra 27 innings in the postseason.
Uh-huh.
So he's only thrown like 193 innings for a career high, and he's already at like 150 right now. So
yeah,
and even I've been talking about it and how just the innings it's something that really, really to think about. To just touch with how many games you got left, 38 games left to go. They got to go at least 23-15 to get to 90 wins. And that's not even the set mark, but they got to win 23 of the next 38 to get to that 90-win mark. And that's without even counting, the other teams losing. And Vladdy Jr. got hurt tonight.
Yeah, I did just see that. As I'm looking for the Francisco Alvarez update,
yep,
I got a
yep.
tweet about Vladdy and his hamstring. On his left leg.
He had a stretch at first, yep, and they took him out in the fifth inning. I was actually watching it because we have no ball game on tonight. But, I'm concerned a little with the Yankees here. I mean, I kind of say to myself, they're 6-2 since Old Timers Day. I tried to change it as that would be the turning point of the season.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. But, hey, they just gotta put the pedal to the metal and get the job done. Simple as that. This team on paper, they got what it takes, I think. It's just, they got to
urgency.
Get it done.
Every Simple game. Every game.
Exactly.
We play today, we win today. That's it. Good call, Russ. Thanks for the info. Piggybacking off of my guy David Rifkin and his call. And for Yankee fans that are still on the roller coaster, glass half full, still believing, good for you. But it's just so much stacked against us, as you just heard with Max Fried and his innings. As I don't believe the schedule is as soft as we think it is. It's baseball. You can't predict baseball. That's baseball, Susan. That's not Susan's brand of baseball that the Yankees been playing. But, hey, like Aaron Boone says, it's all right in front of him. Seize every opportunity. Carpe diem. Every single day. Win. But when you do the math, like, they've got to play 10 games over 500 baseball the rest of the way to have those 90 wins challenge for the division. But, you know, who knows? Let's take another call. And then, again, I'm bringing in Anthony Recker so we can sprinkle in, just a little bit of Mets conversation. Luckily, the Met fans leave me alone on air. I don't have to deal with them outside of the trolling and the nasty DMs and the things they say online. They don't call my show. So I get a full-on Yankee show. And I know there's some people out there that are like, yes, when Keith goes on, we're going to talk about the Yankees. Down in Tampa Bay, James is on the Fan in New York. What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a frustrated Yankee fan down here in Tampa, and they're in town. So I'm going to try to reach the one that I'm trying to help the most, who, in a perfect world, or another world, as you said, he's a home run hitter. And that would be Anthony Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
I look at his mechanics at home plate. I used to coach baseball, never in a major league or minor league system, but I coached baseball, and I was good with hitters. I tried to tell him some things on social media because I connected with him, and I believed it was him. And then when I gave him some suggestions, he deleted me. So I think the bat he's using, for one, is bigger than him, and his stance is not right for that bat. He's not swinging through the strike zone the way he needs to hit the ball in multiple fields. If he would emulate, and I'm not going to say this just because I'm a Jeter fan and he's my favorite Yankee, but he needs to eat, drink, and sleep Derek Jeter and watch his mechanics at home plate. Jeter hit home runs, many of them, because he connected with the ball with the right pitch. And he could hit to all fields and all situations. So I tried to make some suggestions to him. We were friends first, just talking about nothing, really. And then I got into the batting thing with him, and I think he didn't want to listen to me because I'm not.
He cut that channel off. You couldn't DM him anymore. Thanks for the call, James. Interesting points. And, I'm sure he had a ton of Jeter growing up. I don't know how much now he's watching any Derek Jeter highlights or looking at Jeter's stance or approach. He's got the Yankees coaching him up and their hitting coach and their developmental guys that developed him. And, yeah, he's got that kind of crouched stance where, like, I look at him, he's not that big of a guy. I always look at Altuve, and I'm like, I made the joke last week or 2 weeks ago when we played the Astros that Altuve's strike zone is the size of a shoebox, and anybody trying to throw fastballs into that zone, they get rocked. You know, you would think a smaller guy, even like a Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts coming out of it a little bit. Like, Volpe should be able to emulate those guys. But now you're saying that a torpedo bat is too big? I wonder how heavy his bat is. How many ounces? What's the length of his bat? I didn't really think about the bat, but there are times where that swing can hit you a short porch homer or an oppo taco. I mean, he's driving in some runs and hitting some home runs this year, but you would like to see, him slap some singles through, some doubles in the gap, get on base, put some pressure on. I am rooting for him. He has done well after the off days that he's been given. He hasn't been given that many. I think it had been 47 games straight or something like that I read. He's got the double off day here. He's going down to Tampa, where I also said he's got good memories of Tampa, right? Winning that job. Competing against IKF and Peraza, winning that job in 2023, going back to the spring training home, and he's not going to be benched for Jose Caballero. Anthony Volpe will be in the lineup, and I'm hoping he can make a good push offensively and continue to be good defensively. Okay, Anthony Recker coming up on the Fan next. You know him from SNY, MLB Network. You know him from playing for the Mets. And now he calls games on Odyssey Mets Radio. So we'll go get my guy, Rec. We'll talk about the Mets. And then once that's clear, we'll be closer to 11 o'clock, big shot of the nighttime and open mic time. We will touch on all the sports news topics and bring it home till 12. This is your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, on the Fan. Don't go anywhere because we're coming right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Joining us right now, former Met. Like I said, you see him on SNY, MLB Network. You hear him on Mets, Odyssey, Radio. Anthony Recker on the Fan. What's up, Rec?
Come on, man. Good to hear from you. How you been?
Good. Hanging out, doing the five-hour vehicle. Talked a lot of Yanks. Talked some Jets, some Giants. And we saved the best for last. We're going to talk about those make-it-happen Mets. I feel like they're out of the woods a bit. I feel like the Pete Alonso record-breaking game and then Nolan McClain's start and, of course, going to Williamsport and taking the series from the Mariners, a postseason team. If the season ended today, I feel like the vibes are back. Some wins are back, and you've kind of got out of the dark a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the offense is starting to get it going. You know, you got to feel like this team believes that they've got enough pitching with the moves they made at the deadline. They're not the only ones. Obviously, Yankees did it too. You know, just waiting for some of those back-end bullpen arms to start to pay off, kind of shorten those games because you know you're not going to get a ton of length out of the starter. So you had to do it one way or another. But, you know, I feel like they're in a good spot right now. They've got a run in them left, and that's really what it's going to take. They're going to need to go on a run here at the end of the year, see if they can push themselves back into the NL East race, and then obviously from there, it's what can you do in the playoffs?
Yeah, front of mind right now is Francisco Alvarez. Obviously, he was hurt in the beginning of the year. He comes back. He gets sent down. He works on himself. He's been on a tear. He's been an absolute monster since he's come back. You know, since his return, he's got a 323 average, a 1053 OPS, four homers, 13 ribbies. That's courtesy of Mets Muse. And, you know, he just got the look of a guy that wants to win. When they lost the game Friday, you know, everybody saw him kind of sulking. And you just feel for the guy sliding and hurting his thumb. And all day we've been waiting for news on this MRI. I can only feel like there's bad news to come with no news. Can you talk about the impact of Francisco Alvarez behind the dish, you being a former catcher, him calling games, and then obviously with his bat in the lower part of this lineup, them moving him up in the lineup. You know, talk about Francisco Alvarez and what he's meant for this team and what the loss of him, again, could potentially mean.
I mean, realistically, this is one of their leaders. The kid's only 23 years old, but, you know, a couple of years ago, he was getting endorsements from the likes of Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander and the like. You know, they were the ones clamoring for him to start the year in the big leagues. They were the ones saying this kid's ready. He knows what it takes. He wants to win. He works hard. We believe in him. We want to throw to him. You know, when you've got guys like that, essentially just calling your name and saying, you know, you're ready, you're a leader, all those kinds of things, you know, big things are going to be expected from you. And, you know, over the last couple of years, he's shown flashes of it. It hasn't always been great, but, you know, coming into this year, I really thought he would get off to a great start. And then, you know, the hamate injury, and people don't realize how much that can sap you of some of your power. But the way that, you know, after he came back from that injury, still struggling, gets sent down, the way that he responded from that, I think tells you all you need to know about this kid. Like, clearly, he is the type of guy who's going to work his butt off, not going to, you know, let a bad run, you know, define who he is and define his season. He comes back. He's been awesome. You know, really has led offensively a charge and emotionally. I mean, you see it out there on the field. He gets a big hit and you see the emotion pour out of him. He loves it. He wants it. He wants the spotlight. He wants to be in those big moments and he wants to come through. And he had been, you know, to see what has transpired over the last, you know, what, 48 hours or so. Yeah, it's a little bit heartbreaking, but at the same time, we're just speculating that it could be bad news. You never know. Maybe it's not that big a deal. Maybe he's back in a couple of days. Maybe it takes 10 days, whatever it is. Hopefully whenever he does come back, it's with the same fire and, you know, kind of that same resolve. And he's in the same, you know, place that he is or was right before the injury, because the Mets are going to need that down the stretch. He's a game changer for them. He lengthens the lineup, certainly gives the middle of that lineup a lot more protection and a lot more thump. And really, I mean, having that extra bat obviously in there, coming from a catcher, a place where not a whole lot of teams get a ton of production, outside of teams like Seattle, it's a big boost. And having that as a leader, a guy who can help control that staff at times, is big. He's worked a lot on his defensive game. He's become a much better defensive catcher. You got to respect that. And I appreciate what I see out of him. So I know this Mets organization loves him. I know that clubhouse loves him. So they're going to need him to come back healthy and come back strong.
Let's talk about this rotation. I mean, it's been well documented from the beginning of the year, you know, Jeremy Hefner's pitching lab and what we were getting out of guys like Griffin Canning, whose season was cut short, Clay Holmes, who has gone from a reliever to a starter, even a guy like Tyler McGill, who should be coming back. And I think we should expect him to come back in this stretch of, you know, what do they have, 19 games or 16 games coming up and a bunch of division games in a row where, you know, now you add in a young Nolan McLean. Tell me what you expect to see the Mets do with this rotation. Are they going to go to a six-man rotation? What do you expect them to do to get through this stretch of not having an off day?
To be honest with you, with some of the innings limitations that they've had, I don't expect them to go to a six-man rotation. I expect them to try to piggyback some people. If you can utilize some of this youth you've got in AAA that we're seeing right now, play out and play out in a positive way, whether it's, you know, Nolan McLean coming up. I was there for his debut actually the other day at Citi Field on Saturday. That was a lot of fun to watch. There was a lot of energy in the stadium. It seemed like a boost for the team, in morale and in emotion, everything. And anytime you get something like that, I think you got to try to ride that wave out. I mean, I think you're going to see McLean continue on, this year, making as many starts as he needs to. But at the same time, you know, maybe you bring up, a Jonah Tong or a Brandon Sproat, you know, whoever it may be, piggyback some of these guys to limit some of their innings, but still give them the outings that they need and get it under their belt. Because come playoff time, I think we see at this point that the starting five that they had pre the Nolan McLean call-up, that wasn't going to get it done in the playoffs. They needed some energy. They needed an injection of talent in the starting rotation. I think they've got that right now in AAA. They've got it in a guy like Nolan McLean. They're going to have to give those guys their run, but the best way to do that to me isn't necessarily to spread them out over 6-7 days, whatever that is. It would be really just to start piggybacking some of these guys. You know, maybe Clay Holmes becomes a three-inning or two-inning, whether it's an opener or a guy who comes in, you know, right after a McLean or whatever, just to give them some length and try to give this bullpen a little bit of a rest. I could see that being more the case than, you know, a 6 or 7-man rotation.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Stearns and Mendoza navigate this stretch. It's such an important stretch for the standings and to get right. And, you know, they've had so many of these short outings. Something I've been saying all night is performance is what can change that. Kodai Senga had a better outing. Clay Holmes had a better outing. The kid Nolan McLean just surprised me because, you know, leading into that, I'm like, this is a tough spot for the guy against the Mariners. But you know what? He's a former quarterback, two-sport athlete at Oklahoma State playing football and baseball. And the stage wasn't too big for him. So you hope that he's good, you know, in 5 days when he's got to pop back up. But yeah, maybe they go to a Brandon Sproat, but I wanted to ask you about the bullpen. You know, this was billed as a super pen after the deadline, and Gregory Soto has been good, but Tyler Rogers has given it up some, and Ryan Helsley has had a hard go at it. He looked better last night, but I think there's just some kind of bumps in the road, some type of adjustments that happen. I mean, we've seen it with the Yankees, with Jake Bird, who got DFA'd, and then or got sent down. And then Camilo Duvall, who struggled. It's just, you know, getting acclimated to some new settings. How do you feel about the Mets bullpen and these guys coming along, the new guys and the guys that were already there, like Edwin Diaz and Reed Garrett and Ryan Stanek? Like, I still think that's going to be a strength of this team.
It has to be, just based on the way that they're constructed. They're not going to get six innings out of anybody at this point. At least it doesn't seem that way. The only guy that's done it in the last, 2 months is David Peterson. So it really has to be a strength to them, that back end of the bullpen. I think you nailed it on the head. Like, you know, you come to a new team at the trade deadline, and although there can be an injection of energy and emotion, you know, and excitement from something like that, at the same time, as a pitcher, as a reliever or a starter, in this case, the relievers, you know, look, they're still creatures of habit. They're in a new setting. They've got new coaches around them. They're probably trying to develop new routines. Everything's different. And sometimes that can affect your performance on the field. And I think that's all we're seeing right now, you know, from both teams like the Yankees, teams like the Mets. You know, there have been a lot of deadline moves that have been questioned early on, right? But as these guys settle in, it doesn't always happen overnight. As they settle in, I think we'll start to see the benefits and the fruits of those trades. And it's really going to make an impact for all these teams, especially both New York teams, but the Mets, obviously, the way that they built it and did it from the back end, they need it, and they're going to get it. It's going to win out. I mean, the numbers on the back of the baseball card prove it. Tyler Rogers, fantastic reliever, has been so consistent over the last 5 years or so. Helsley, look, he's ridden a roller coaster before. It happens as a closer at times, but he'll find himself. Anytime you're throwing 102, 103 miles an hour, like, I mean, realistically, you know, you can only give up so much, right? Like, you can only get squared up so much. So I think he'll find himself, and this back end of the bullpen will be fine. They do still need Garrett and Stanek both to stand up at times, though, and pull their weight. And it's really been, you know, Garrett struggled of late. It happens. Again, you go through it, but you've got to find a way, you know, whether it's a hit to your confidence because they brought in some relievers that would have, you know, that are kind of taking some of your innings that you formerly got, but whatever it is, you got to man up and do what you need to for your team. So I expect them to right the ship and certainly get more out of the bullpen than they've gotten over the last couple of weeks.
They say this team goes as Francisco Lindor goes. He was just named player of the week, going 14 for 25 with a 560 average, 3 home runs, 7 ribbies, 2 stolen bases, 6 extra hits. And even though they lost those games, it's refreshing to see the leadoff hitter, the leader, a guy that, you know, we were worried about his pinky toe and if he was still feeling some effects of that. You know, many people thought he might be named captain after David Wright's ceremony. That's in the past now. I am, you know, leaning towards the Mets being back because Lindor has gotten it going. And, you know, don't sleep on Juan Soto's impact either. You know, Juan Soto, they just posted, he's the only guy in Major League Baseball with 30 and 20. He smashed his, you know, stolen bases total this year already, and I think we're about to see Juan Soto break out as well. So let's talk about the lineup, Pete Alonso, Nimmo, and the Mets hitters, because I felt like the strength of this team going into the season was supposed to be the order. Even Vientos coming alive last night, you kind of got to play him. If those guys are going and those guys are hitting, then the Mets will be fine with their starters not going deep in the games, having a lead and turning it over to the bullpen.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this lineup, they're far too good to have the struggles that they had for about a 2 month stretch there, June and July. We're seeing Pete come out of it in a big way. I think, you know, breaking the record, certainly just, it's going to be a weight off his shoulders. Soto, we've seen a very good version of him all year. It hasn't been obviously what we saw last year, I would say. But he's been very good nonetheless. Lindor, I mean, for whatever reason, every year it's like first half, second half. You know, there's month or two where he's great, month or two where he struggles. Hopefully he's turning it on again right now, because this Mets team, to your point, they do live and die by him, at least offensively. For whatever reason, he's the tone setter. He starts it, and they tend to fall in line. So I do love what I've seen from Brandon Nimmo this year. Very different hitter. You know, he's not the type of guy always looking to work walks. He's been very aggressive early in counts. He's been very aggressive looking for his pitch. You know, some of the power numbers prove it, that it's been beneficial in some ways for him in this offense. Even a Jeff McNeil has shown some things at times throughout this year where he's, you know, carried a load a little bit. So there's certainly a dangerous lineup, and they can be a dangerous lineup, you know, pretty much 1 through 9 outside of really that center field spot. You know, they went out and got Cedric Mullins at the deadline. We'll see how that pays off. But I like this lineup top to bottom. They've got a lot of talent. You know, it definitely, they ride too many waves at times. You'd love to see them, you know, be a little bit more steady, but look, it's baseball. You're going to struggle at times. And certainly when you're going through the good times, you got to ride it out. And that's what they got to do right now. They're going to try to do. But yeah, a guy like Lindor, when he's going, you know, it certainly seems to bode obviously extremely well for the rest of the lineup. For whatever reason, they fall, like I said, they fall in line behind him, and they got to ride that out now the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're running out of time. It's get right time, and I do feel like they're out of the woods, and they're going to seize this opportunity coming up. We're on the phone right now with Anthony Recker, former Mets player. You hear him on a Mets Odyssey Radio and SNY, MLB Network. Rec, last thing for you. If you were watching the game yesterday, and even if you weren't, everybody's heard of it now. Rob Manfred literally spoke on realignment. It's coming. I don't know if it's going to take a year after the lockout, 2 years. I joked online that, hey, this will be, you know, the last thing he does in 2029 before he signs off. But as a former player, I'd like to know your thoughts on it. I mean, us fans have a lot of thoughts on it, but I think as a former player, we'd like to get your perspective on, you know, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies division, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what it would look like after a realignment, obviously. None of us know exactly what that would entail and what it would look like. As long as we're able to keep, you know, the main rivalries, the ones that, you know, that we all love, I would say, you know, as a former Met, when you talk about that, Mets, Phillies, you know, obviously as a Yankees, Red Sox, you look out West, you know, Dodgers, Padres, Dodgers, Giants, you want to keep those intact. But look, I think what we've seen over the last several years is there have been some fairly big shakeups in the game, big shakeups to the rules, the way the game is played. You know, and for whatever reason, you know, we're seeing attendance, viewership, all those things. They're all pointing up. The arrows are all pointing up, and that's always obviously what we're looking for. So, if this is what the brain trust is looking at and thinking this is the way they want to go, and you know, I mean, what it all comes down to, of course, is dollars and cents. They're trying to make more money. You add a couple extra cities, you know, a couple extra teams. There's more money in the game, more money to go around, all those kinds of things. But realistically, you know, as long as it's not hurting the game out there on the field, and it's something that's still entertaining and something we want to watch, I'm all for it. Change is a good thing, and you know, we'll kind of see where it leads. But like I said, I would hate to see some of those natural and longstanding rivalries go by the wayside. So hopefully that's something that is obviously considered, and I'm sure it will be, you know, when the time comes.
Rec, you're the man. I appreciate the time tonight.
Anytime, Keith. Anytime. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the show. That was Anthony Recker. You guys know him. This is Keith McPherson. Programming alert just came across my desk. At 11 a.m., Yankees manager Aaron Boone will join BT and Sal ahead of this little two-game set in Tampa. So look forward to that tomorrow. I will probably wake up and be able to catch BT and Sal as I usually do at 10 on the live YouTube chat. I see you guys in the YouTube chat. We're going strong on the chat. Appreciate all the conversation. We're still holding around, you know, 100 people talking in the chat and watching through the night. WFAN YouTube, just go to WFAN YouTube and look for a WFAN Overnight Live if you want to interact online. But if you're just in the car or you're in the gym or you're home and you're just interacting or whatever, we've still got plenty, or you're just listening and not trying to interact, we've still got plenty of more show ahead of us. I'm on till 12. So let's take a break here. When we come back, I'll sprinkle in a couple more things, and then traditionally I do the big shot of the night at 11, and then open mic time 11 to 12, where anything that we didn't hit on, any topics that you guys want to talk about, you can bring to the table. Keith McPherson on The Fan, KM to AM returns right after this.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, right back at it on The Fan. It me again. The last hour and 10 minutes I've got. We're going to open up the mics, open mic time. Here's something, you know, not really in the wide world of sports, but something that I put on Twitter and wanted to share. No, not my son pooping himself in the morning and taking his diaper off, which actually, like this morning, we did make progress on that. Instead of him taking the poopy diaper off and smearing it all over the crib, Buddy just woke up, took his pants off, took the diaper off, and put it outside of the crib. Much easier for Dada to clean up. Did not have to do the whole poopy fire drill. But, you know, on the weekends, I was off, I think, Friday, right? And that helps me out because I try to do all the errand running, going to ShopRite and Target and BJ's and just kind of stocking up the crib for my wife, my son, and I, you know, just, you know, running errands, as we all do on the weekend. And I hate being in the store, especially, like, I live in Jersey City, Hoboken. So, like, I hate being in the store after probably 10, 11 a.m. because it gets so crowded and people are reckless and they don't care and they have no respect for people. So, hey, I'm in there as soon as it opens for the most part. 8, 9 o'clock, in and out, done. And I went to BJ's, and BJ's is right next door to ShopRite. And I've been in that ShopRite 1,000 times. And I remember when they didn't have self-checkout at ShopRite. And they have self-checkout where there's a lane, like you could actually put, you know, food and stuff on the belt. And then they also have these quick just doo-doop, you know, to be, you know, quick and on your way. And I know how some people feel about self-checkout, right? Oh, if I got to ring up my own groceries and I got to bring my own bag, I'm entitled to steal. No, you're not. You don't get a couple things free. Now, I'm sure everybody has accidentally stolen or intentionally stolen from the self-checkout. Do that at your own risk. But man, I stepped in there just to get a bagel and a donut. Low-key, ShopRite, that's the best spot to get your bagels and donuts. There are some good bagel shops and donut shops, but they have them for the low right there. They're a dollar and they're good quality. Shout out to ShopRite Bakery. So I get me a egg bagel and a glazed donut with rainbow sprinkles just for my little morning breakfast. And so I'm in line and Buddy in front of me rings up all his stuff and I'm on my phone. I'm never paying that much attention. And honestly, too, I have my AirPods in. I'm listening to WFAN. I think I was listening to Beningo. I was listening to Beningo rip on the Mets that morning listening to Beningo. Rip the Mets after that Friday night game. So when I look up, I see Buddy in front of me and his daughter, who's a young girl, and I see them just kind of, you know, take their own bags and walk away. And I'm not thinking anything of it. And when I get up to the register, when I get up to the self-checkout screen, it says $62.89, and it is waiting for payment. So I kind of look around to my left, to my right, and I'm like, oh, this dude just stole those groceries. He just got that off, too. And I felt for him. One, I'm on my business. I'm never snitching on anybody. But I'm like, maybe he fell on hard times. He does have a little girl with him that had to be about 4 or 5 years old. And I wasn't, you know, watching what he rang up. But I'm like, maybe he needed it there. But, like, now what am I supposed to do? Like, there's people in all these other lines, and I'm up to pay for my two things. I'm not going to signal right away. Like, I I gave him, I kind of assisted. I guess I'm an accomplice. I gave him time to walk right out the door, and I just got out of the line. And then I go over to the line where there's an actual person at, and now I'm watching the next person that was behind me come up, and they flag for service. And the woman comes up and sees there's, you know, 6289 rang up and nobody paid for it. And she's looking around, and she looks at me, and I'm like, I just gave her a look like, nah, that wasn't for me. I was in that line, but I got my stuff right here to pay. That guy is already in his car. And then that stuck with me. You know, I didn't snitch in there. I would never tell anybody. But when I go out into the parking lot, because I was quick, I end up right behind this guy. And he had a nice car. I don't know what the car cost or whatever, but I'm just like, $62.89 of groceries. He got that off. Maybe he forgot to pay. Maybe he was so, you know, caught up taking care of his daughter, watching his daughter, he forgot to pay. But no, I think that goes on a lot. And I know that those people that work in the grocery stores, they're not about to chase you down. They're not about to fight you. They're not about to try and make a citizen's arrest or anything like that. But I was like, well, I didn't snitch in there. I got to go tell everybody on Twitter, and eventually I'll tell everybody on the fan. So there's my little open mic topic. I was a witness to a robbery at ShopRite, $62.89 worth of groceries last Saturday morning. Yes, it was me. I saw it happen, and I am reporting it now. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County on the fan after hearing Anthony Recker talk about the Mets. The Mets are out of the woods. Here we go, LGM. It's time to start winning again, Ross.
What up, Keith? How you doing, man? Hey, these two wins, they ain't changing my opinion. This team can't fool me. I know who they are. And I'm not going to let two wins, get my
two wins can't wash away the 13 out of 15 losses.
You can't fool me. I'm familiar with their game. All of a sudden, Lindor, I'm playing a guy in fantasy. This guy, Lindor's dropping 15 points a night. I remember 3 weeks ago, this guy was going over. This guy had like his third 0-for-30 skid of the season. It's incredible. But, all kidding aside, I mean, look, two much needed wins is an understatement. It's incredible, too, by the way. Cincinnati, of all teams, is a team like breathing right down our neck. I know they brought in Tito Francona, but look at that team. I mean, it's legit, like the definition of mid. Besides, Ellie's, but like Steer, McLean, I mean, they're good.
They got some pitching. Their lineup leaves a lot to be desired, but they can pitch. They beat the Yankees in Cincinnati.
Yeah. It feels like a collection of career wanderers. Like Austin Hayes has been there. He's apparently like tearing the cover
off. Jose Trevino.
Yeah, he's another one. Now they got one other guy they just brought in this team. Brian Hayes.
Brian
Hayes at the deadline, yeah. And I think he homered in his first game. They were down 8-0 or something his first game. I don't know. But of all teams, the fact that they're the ones right behind us. But I don't know, man. Here's the do-or-die stretch. I feel like we've been saying that a lot. You got, what is it now, like 10 games in a row against, in-division teams?
Yep.
And obviously, Philly's the one you got to track down for the division. But what is it, like 5.5 now? And, obviously the thing with Wheeler's a huge blow for them. But it almost looked like they were going to lose Durant, too. Talking about all the hoopla with Hell's Bells and all that. I mean, he's probably even got PSB with the entrance he's got. So, the hype around him.
Not to cut you off, Ross, but two things. They do have Miguel Andujar, former Yankee over there with the Reds now. I think they traded for him. And then also, you brought up something like injuries. That is the thing that could shake this thing up the rest of the way. Injuries to any team. And the Mets are relatively healthy. Hopefully Alvarez is straight. But yeah, injuries is what could change any team's plans. Like we both have to stay healthy, Mets and Yankees, but our opponents are fighting to stay healthy too.
I gotta say one more thing, bro. I knew there was one other thing I wanted to bring up. Nolan McLean, he was great, but bro, I feel like it had been so long since we had seen a respectable outing. That don't get me wrong, he was good. But, bro, I see people saying, what was the last time we saw a debut this good since DeGrom? I saw people say, would you want to throw a perfect game?
Yeah,
I mean, like, bro, we're crowning this guy like a future Cy Young winner. He was good, don't get me wrong, but, A, he didn't even fit. He still kept that sixth-inning drought going because he had to throw 90 damn pitches. He was walking the ballpark.
Yeah, Mendy went to get him, and they booed that decision.
Yeah, and which kind of, you know, made something obvious too now. He basically confirmed that Stearns is calling the shots because he said the old, you know, I'd be blowing too if I was in the crowd.
Yeah, and did you see him on, actually, I got to pull this up, and I'll play it. You just reminded me, it's in my notes. He was on Foul Territory today, and shout out to my guys at Foul Territory. I've been on the podcast 6 times. I've had Scott Braun on. He talked about, I don't know if he was joking, I got to pull up the audio. He talked about, yeah, I'm getting guys warm in the fourth, like, yeah, he says in the past 10 days. So I got somebody getting hot in the fourth inning.
Bro, we don't have a rotation.
It's
unbelievable.
Just to be a good manager, you got to manage.
Bro, we're talking about not having an ace. We don't have a rotation. The guy can't go 5 innings. It's incredible, and it's just like I look at it now, and you know, Quintana. There will never be an excuse for the fact that Jose Quintana never came back here. But like people saying we should have brought back Severino, guess what? We brought back Minaya, our tribal chief, and he's been a dud. And yeah. I was one of the first people I wanted him back. So, you know, I got to eat the crow as long as he's pitching like this. He's been awful. You know, Peterson felt like the one guy you could trust. All of a sudden, he's hit a little bit of a rough patch. And, I mean, my God, talking about control issues, Senga's probably got the worst control in the league right now. It's incredible that they don't have a rotation. But, hey, man, and the fact that that's the least of their issues, that's what's in the line. And I told Beningo this real quick. I appreciate the time, but the two happiest people in the world, when they're you know, you see them losing games 11-9, 8-7, the two happiest people in the world are Jeremy Barnes and Eric Chavez because they said, stop pointing the fingers at us. It's not our fault no more. It's incredible, bro.
Yeah, everybody. Thanks for the call, Ross. Everybody's seat was hot. Jeremy Hefner, Eric Chavez, Carlos Mendoza. And then, you know, a debut and a record broken and Lindor getting hot and Alvarez and Vientos and Juan Soto stealing bases and hitting some home runs and working some walks and a couple wins. Cure all. Winning cures all. So, yeah, I was just telling you guys that Carlos Mendoza was on Foul Territory, the best baseball podcast out there covering the whole league. My guy Scott Braun, who I had on the day of the trade deadline, host that podcast. So I do have a couple clips queued up. Let's go to Mendy talking about, you know, starting pitching and just where the Mets' struggles were through this stretch, not being able to get consistency out of his starters.
What was it like from then, that 2.5-week period, and then this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, 2.5 weeks. I think he felt like it's been more than 2.5 that we've been going through it. But, it's been hard. It's been hard. It's been a tough stretch, a frustrating one. We are all frustrated. But for us to be able to win a series against a very good team, that Mariners team is a really good team. You know, that's a deep lineup. Is a really good pitching staff. And for us to be able, after losing the first one the way we did, it was important. You know, the Saturday game, last night game, I feel like, you know, you guys know everything starts with starting pitching, and we haven't been able to get that consistency from them. I felt like Senga last time, his last outing, going into the sixth inning, followed by McClain that we'll talk about it. And then yesterday, Clay giving us a solid 5 innings. I thought he was in position to go deeper before, you know, that inning got long, the fourth inning got long. But that's where it starts, you know. Continue to believe in the guys. There's a lot of talent there, and I'm pretty confident that we'll get through this.
Yeah, they got to perform. I kind of feel bad for Mendy at times. It's his second year on the job. Stearns has stuck him with, you know, Clay Holmes, Frankie Montas, and like Kodai Senga. And I mean, Kodai Senga isn't even a Stearns guy. Sean Manaea comes back. He's got the loose bodies in the elbow. He isn't what you had the year before. It's tough. It's tough for Mendy to make the right decisions to navigate this and be correct. So, you know, we go back to the other clip where Mendy is talking about, you know, how I just joked with Ross in Bergen County about, you know, the fourth inning and getting guys up. You might not want to hear it as a fan, but like as a manager, knowing that the numbers say that you average 4.2 innings out of your starters, if that, Mendy has to be on the phone to the bullpen to have somebody up. So here's Mendy talking about, you know, getting somebody hot in the fourth inning.
We were getting guys from AAA making spot starts, you know, and we're trying to piece it together. I mean, it's hard to replace. So as soon as Senga went down back in June 12th, then, you know, a few days later, Griffin Canning went down, and then McGill went down. Like, that's hard to replace. In the meantime, Montas is kind of rehabbing. Manai is kind of rehabbing, and then he has a setback. I'm trying to push our starters, but when the guys are at almost 90 pitches in the fourth inning, like, how much can I push them, you know? Then the guy that we try and push a lot was Petey, you know. He's been very consistent, giving us six innings. And the times that I felt like, hey, he got through the six and he's at 92, he's going back out. I think there was a couple of times, one in Atlanta that I sent him back for the eighth, and the first two guys got on, and then whoever came in gave it up. But yeah, I mean, like, we went through a stretch here where the bullpen was filling it, but it's because of how much they've been used out of necessity. You know, like, the key is starting pitching. And we've seen it the past few days. Like I said, Senga on Friday, McClain, Clay. You know, once you start getting solid six innings from your starters, it's easier to manage the bullpen. But I feel like the past 10 days, I get somebody hot in the fourth inning. You know, like, it's just hard to continue to get 15 outs every night from your bullpen.
Yeah, it's not a recipe for success. 888-808-1019. You kind of forget, like, they were rolling through the Zach Pops, the Dickie Loveladies, the Justin Hagenmans, the Zach Hergits, the DaVinskys. Like, there was a stretch where the Mets were rolling out anybody from that bullpen. They had bullpen games. And you got to hope that now they're through that. Nolan McClain is here. There might be a chance Brandon Sproat comes through. Tyler McGill is scheduled to return at some point late August. Like, we're waiting on that. You can only hope that you get another good performance out of Clay Holmes like you got last night. Waiting to see David Peterson's bounce back and respond. You know he will. Like, he's going to have to erase his last short start that blew up. I don't know, man. Frankie Montas is out of the rotation. He's in the bullpen now. I think you feel better about where you are, too, with this line of performing. Now we're just waiting to hear from Francisco Alvarez, and we're not going to hear it tonight. We're not going to hear anything on that tonight. So you kind of hold your breath and go to sleep, kind of say your prayers and cross your fingers. I don't know, wear your pajamas inside out and hope that you hear that, hey, he's just going to miss a couple days. You know, the MRI is negative, and, you know, he doesn't have to hit the IL. And you will survive calling up, why am I blanking on Hayden Sanger's name? You'll survive with, as you have this year, seeing Hayden Sanger and Luis Torrens, and you hope that Juan Soto and Lindor and Soto and Nimmo and Alonso and Soto again can, get you through. 888-808-1019. It's open mic time. Keith McPherson on the fan. Duh. Let's get to the update. And then we'll do a big shot of the night and tell me something cool a little bit later in the hour. I don't have it yet. I'll think of it. Let's hit that right now, Ray.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.